is Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation which you have been called, with lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Well, brethren, let me say that I am so thankful to be able to be one of the speakers for this. I do wish I was with you in person, but certainly it's good that we can come together in this way to be able to worship God together. My assignment is to discuss the great theme of forgiveness. And so I want to begin this lesson by saying that in the book of Romans, chapter 6, there is a verse that we're, many of us, very familiar with. And the verse is Romans 6, 23, where the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I would like for you to share with me, looking at this verse, in its two parts. And I'd like to start with the B part of the verse. But a contrast, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want us to realize that salvation is a gift that is offered to all of mankind, and that it is because of the love of God and the care of God and His mercy that God has allowed us this great gift through Jesus Christ of eternal life. But as is often the case with Hebrew parallelism, so in the New Testament, we also have this example sometimes of the opposites being discussed. So now we're ready to look at the A part of the verse, Romans 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." And we might ask the question, what death does this verse speak of? Because there are different types of death. There is physical death. James 2:26 speaks of the separation of the body from the spirit. That's the most common usage of our word death, a physical death. But this B part of the verse helps explain it. If I say heads, you say tails, the opposite side of the coin. So when we look carefully at our scriptures, we see the gift of God is eternal life. And that helps me understand the first part of the verse. When he says the wages of sin is death, he's talking about eternal death, and the opposite is eternal life. And so when we think about sin, the wages of sin is death. And of course, Romans 3:23, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the paycheck that you and I deserve is eternal death, eternal separation from God himself. And yet eternal life is offered through Jesus Christ. So this is the very foundation for our topic, and that is forgiveness. Not receiving what we deserve, our paycheck should be eternal destruction, but God is going to offer forgiveness to us. Now I want us to turn our attention to the book of Matthew, and we'll go to Matthew chapter number 18. I invite you to follow along, and if you have a ribbon in your Bible, you might want to drop it there. We're going to examine some things from Matthew chapter number 18. Before we can fully appreciate our need to give forgiveness to others, we must appreciate what God has done in forgiving us. In the book of Matthew 18, the text in verse number 21 tells us that Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times." The lesson that I have for us today is focusing on our forgiveness of others, our willingness to be forgiving to those of our fellow individuals. But before we can appreciate that, we need to see the love of God and the forgiveness of God. So Peter comes and he asks the Lord the question, "How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" According to my study, the common rabbinical answer would be to this question three times, similar to our strike three, you're out. And Peter here does not go with the common answer that was given in the day by those religious leaders, but rather Peter says, Lord, should it be seven times? And I would at least venture to guess that Peter might be thinking he would be praised, because this is a large number, that if someone keeps on sinning against you and you go till seven times. But the Lord comes back with the answer, not seven times, but I tell you until 70 times seven, verse number 22. And of course, we understand hyperbolic language, that the Lord is not looking for arithmetic here, but rather he is exaggerating for the emphasis. Peter, no, not seven times, but just this massive number of times that you continue to show forgiveness to your fellow man. And the Lord knows what was needed on this occasion. And if I am assigned the topic of how we need to forgive our fellow man, then certainly we can do no better than going to how Jesus taught this lesson. And so we have a parable here beginning in verse number 23. And I would like for you to take with me this afternoon two parts of this parable, and we will separate them and kind of chew on them one at a time. First of all, let's notice in verse number 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would make a reckoning with his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not wherewith to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant, being moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. Through verse number 27. Let's stop there. Let's focus on what we're learning within this part of the parable. As you look at this, we realize that the kingdom of heaven is going to be likened unto this. And we're talking about the spiritual kingdom that was foretold by Daniel. And we're talking about that reign of God in the hearts of people. And the Lord is saying it's like this, that a servant is going to be brought before the king to give an account. And after much and very careful and detailed research, I have looked to find out the identity of this servant in verse 24. Notice the particular, if you will. The one that was brought to him owed 10,000 talents. Who could this be? Well, to understand the magnitude of that debt, I think we need to glance over to chapter 20 of the book of Matthew and notice in verse 2 another parable where the Lord says, the man went out to hire laborers and he agreed with them for a shilling a day. So we learned that in first century times, a shilling a day, or we would say the Greek coin, the denarius, one shilling a day was the hire for a laboring man for a day. Now we go back to chapter number 18, and we recognize that the servant in question, verse 24 of Matthew 18, he owes 10,000 talents. Now a talent could often commonly be either an amount or a weight of gold or a weight of silver. So you could have a talent of silver or a talent of gold or some precious metal. The Bible simply says here that this man had not a denarius, not just one little coin that would be a laboring for one day, but this would be a talent. This would be a weight of gold or silver, but it was 10,000 talents. We can boil this down and realize here again, the Lord is giving a hyperbole, because if you do the calculations as best we can determine, A man could not pay this back in many lifetimes. In fact, I believe even this servant doesn't fully grasp the magnitude of his debt, because watch what he says to the Lord in verse 26. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. In reality, the debt is so large, he could never pay this debt. Now, who is this? Who is this servant in verse number 24 that has this enormous debt, insurmountable debt? I submit to you, the person's name is George Jensen. That's the servant right there. But for you, you must put your name right there, because the Lord is saying, this is anyone who has lived beyond the age of childhood, who has come to a point of understanding. All of us sin, we're separated from God, and our debt of sin is so massive that on our own, there's no way we can pay it. To emphasize that, we could go to Jesus as he's there face down, praying to the Father before the cross. And we hear Jesus begging the Father, saying, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And you know that there was no other way. He had to take the suffering of the cross in order for our debt to be paid. There was no way we could pay it ourselves. And so we see that great magnitude of the debt. Go for a moment with me to the book of Luke, and we'll go to Luke chapter number 7. I want to remind you of something that happened in the life of Jesus when he was sitting at meat, and a woman came in, and the Bible says she was a sinful woman. And she came in, and she was weeping, and she was wetting Jesus' feet with her tears, and she was wiping his feet with her hair, and she was kissing him much. And in Luke chapter 7, watch verse number 47. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Brothers and sisters, look at this principle. The Lord is saying, if you have been forgiven much, our love should be in comparison to that. So when we flip back to Matthew chapter 18, we recognize that our debt of sin was so large, it should impact the kind of love, the kind of appreciation we have to God. Now, when does this reckoning take place? Turn back to Matthew 18. This servant is called to give a reckoning. And you know that this doesn't represent the final judgment, but rather when a person comes, they're called by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. We hear the gospel call, and that can come at different times in different people's lives where they come to know the gospel. And we come to realize that we're in sin and we cannot pay for our sin on our own. Then we are falling down before God and we're begging him forgiveness. And that is a depiction of us obeying the gospel when we're saying, God, I am undone. I'm repenting of my sins. I'm going to turn, making Jesus my Lord. And you said that forgiveness comes through immersion. I want forgiveness of sins, and I'm going to submit to baptism. And those of you that are listening to this lesson, at the end, we're going to have a song. And if you have a need to be like this servant, to fall down before God and beg for forgiveness, it's not just simply by begging in prayer, but God in the New Testament has told us how to receive that forgiveness through gospel obedience. I want you to also notice, before we leave the first part of this parable, the Bible says the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. We must focus for a moment, verse 27, that the king here was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. God has been so merciful to us, and we will never be able to show the kind of forgiveness to others we ought to until we begin to get a handle on the magnitude of God's forgiveness for us. Where would you be? Answer me. Where would you be? Where would I be if it were not for the mercy of God, that he was willing to forgive me of that insurmountable debt. It ought to cause us to be so grateful and so humble. And so the Bible here is simply depicting someone who gets forgiveness from God. That would be representative now of a Christian who has been totally forgiven of that insurmountable debt. Now, the second part of the parable, verse number 28. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 shillings. Now, we know because of the daily wage, right, of a laboring man, that this is only 100 days of labor. That's quite a bit of labor, but this is a doable debt, isn't it? And the depiction is that when we wrong one another, it's very different than what we've done against God and the magnitude of it. But he laid hold of him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and besought him, saying, "Have mercy, have patience with me, and I will pay thee." You see, I'm seeing a picture of, first the servant fell down before the king. Now someone's falling down before him. But he refuses to forgive his fellow servant. Remember what James wrote in James chapter 2, verse 13. For judgment is without mercy to him that has showed no mercy. Oh, how important it is for us to see this parable and see ourselves. I challenge you to read through at another time this parable. And when you come to that huge debt, put your name there. And contemplate the blessing of having forgiveness and being a child of God. And that ought to motivate us to be able to have some compassion for others who have sinned against us. Let's turn our Bibles back to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. And let's listen to the words of Jesus from this example prayer in the sermon. Listen to these words in Matthew 6, verse 14 and verse 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Even in this example prayer, the Lord has established this truth. And this truth is magnified in the parable we're looking at. That if we expect God's forgiveness, we must be willing to bestow it upon others. We must be willing to forgive others also. But let's look in the parable and what happens. Well, these fellows find out what this man did because he cast the man into prison, verse number 30, till he should pay all that was due. So when his fellow servants saw that was what was done, they were exceeding sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Now, God doesn't need to get a report from someone, does he? In this story, it's a parable, so it could be a common occurrence. But God knows what we do to our fellows. And the Lord, verse 32, called him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt." I'm reading from the American Standard Translation, and you may have something similar. But in verse number 32, I want you to underline the words, "that debt." What is that debt? That's my debt of sin. God said, "I forgave you of that debt, your huge debt. Should you not have also forgiven your fellow servant, even as I had mercy on you?" And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. Now watch how the Lord puts this conclusion, the application to this. "So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you, if you forgive not everyone his brother from your hearts." Are we getting the lesson? Are we really feeling the impact of this teaching? That every single time that someone wrongs me and they ask for forgiveness, am I willing to extend forgiveness based upon the way that God has been so forgiving of me? But now, before our time slips away, There's something very important that must be included. Turn with me, please, to the book of Luke, chapter number 17. We're living in a world where so many people are confused. So many people are confused, and they're thinking that I, being a Christian, I'm supposed to simply just forgive people regardless of how they act, regardless of their attitude, and someone says just forgive no matter what the circumstances. But let's see what the Lord teaches us in the book of Luke, chapter 17. Watch this now, verse number 3. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sin, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. Now, if I were being politically correct, if I were falling in with the modern idea in our world that is so popular, this is how I would read verse 3. If your brother sin, forgive him. Because see, the world around us doesn't want to hear about rebuke. The world around us doesn't want to hear about repent. So they just say, if someone sins against you, forgive them, period. That's not what the Lord said. What the Lord actually said is, if your brother sin, rebuke him. That's my responsibility. Furthermore, if is a conditional phrase, if he repent. And someone says, well, what about the Lord? Remember the Lord was hanging on the cross there and he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Yes, the Lord had a forgiving attitude. And he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. But if we will read the rest of the account in the Bible, we will recognize that on the day of Pentecost, Peter and the other 11 were up preaching as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 2, number 4, and they said, you by the hands of lawless men did crucify and slay, you killed Jesus. And then later in the sermon, he told them how to get forgiveness of the death of Christ. And they, when they asked, verse 37, how to be saved, they were told, repent and be baptized. Watch this. God didn't say, I'll just forgive you, but rather God required repentance before he gave his forgiveness. Get this lesson, please. God does not ask me to do something he will not do. And God does not forgive unless someone repents. And God does not ask me to forgive someone unless they have repented. Notice what it says now. We're back in Luke 17, verse 3. If he repent, forgive him. And if he sin against you 7 times in the day and 7 times turn again to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Watch this. Repentance is there. But when someone says, I repent, I must bestow forgiveness. Even if it's 7 times, remember what Peter said? How many times, Lord? 7. The Lord's here saying, even if it happens 7 times in one day, you still, if they repent, need to forgive them. And so what a true teaching this is for us to consider. Now, one side point we must include, and that is this. When I say, when the Bible tells me, if the person repents, then forgive them, that doesn't mean that I'm going to, if they don't repent, harbor anger and be mean to them and have a hard heart. No, that's not it. I can have a prayer for my enemies. I can continue to show them love and concern, and I'm not going to harbor ill will to them. I'll have the right attitude toward those that have sinned against me, regardless of whether they repent or not. But forgiveness cannot come unless they do repent. And that's a good point for us to qualify when we're thinking about this scriptural teaching. Well, I see our time is slipping away, but I do want us to consider this very carefully, that the Lord was wrapping this point up and saying, God in heaven, our heavenly Father, this is what he's going to do if we act like that servant and aren't forgiving to those that are around us that repent. We need to have an attitude of forgiveness and a willingness to bestow forgiveness and have mercy upon others as God has had to us. In fact, let's go to the book of Ephesians as we close out this lesson. I want you to see something from Ephesians chapter number 1 to begin with. Ephesians chapter 1, listen to the beauty of this. Chapter 1, Ephesians, verse number 7. In whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. That is a blessing that is immense. That is the beautiful blessing of being forgiven of our trespasses. And now as we close the lesson, look at chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32. Let this be a conclusion. Let it wrap up for us the first and the second part of that parable all in one verse and make this closing point, and then we'll sing our song. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. There is a connection between the forgiveness I have received and I should be willing to bestow forgiveness upon others. If you have a need, come as we stand and sing. Mm-hmm.